Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he as you near the end of the Old Testament, the promises become rather apocalyptic. There's a lot of talk of judgment. God is promising that he is going to come in great vengeance. But he's also promising redemption for his people. The prophets Haggai and Malachi are no exception. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll talk about waiting for God's promised messengers in Haggai and Malachi. Pastor Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is the message that God delivers through the prophet Haggai in the second chapter of that book?
Yes, it's important to read the first chapter because what the Lord of hosts is saying to these people, they had not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And the Lord says to them by Haggai, the prophet, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. So the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I might take pleasure in it and that I might be glorified, says the Lord. So it is at this point that Haggai in chapter 2 says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? This is, of course, before the Babylonians had come in and destroyed the house. And he says, how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, declares the Lord, according to Zerubbabel. Be strong, and all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And then he says, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt.
Why is that statement, I am with you, so important?
It is so important because imagine a child who one day they're asleep in bed in their upper room, and all of a sudden there's a huge storm, thunderstorm, lightning, etc. They don't feel very good if the parents are not with them. But when the parents are with them, that means they are comforted. And in fact, God makes it clear why he is with them in verse 5. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. And what was that covenant? That was an agreement God had made with his people that he would take them to the promised land. There they would be able to worship him. And unfortunately, they fell from that worship. And that's why they were taken into Babylonian captivity. But now God has brought them back. And here's what Haggai says in verse 7. I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. boy, there's some things you really got to look at carefully here, because he says that the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the former temple that had been made by Solomon. And that had tremendous glory. And Jesus was there also. But what we hear now is that the glory of God will be coming personally into this temple. And this is a prediction about Jesus Christ. And then he says, in this place, I will give peace. Now, the people are worried, and that's part of the reason why they weren't building the temple, rebuilding it, that there were enemies around them that wanted to defeat them. And so they were worried that they wouldn't be able to defend themselves. But now the Lord says, I am with you. My spirit is in your midst, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And so in these last books here of the Old Testament, we're seeing the prediction of Jesus Christ.
God mentions his covenant. What is he talking about there in particular?
Yes, there are two covenants in the Bible. We refer to them as the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they're not referring to the number of books in each era. They're really referring to two agreements. The one agreement that Moses had with the people is they said, we will obey everything the Lord has said. And of course, that didn't last very long because they ended up worshiping a golden calf. Then the other covenant was the covenant where it was not on the basis of their obedience, but on the basis of the obedience of the Savior, Jesus. And what's the peace that he's bringing? The peace between human beings and God the Father. That's a peace that we did not have because of the dividing wall of hostility that we had erected by our sin. So that when Jesus meets his disciples on the first night of the resurrection, what's his first words? Peace be with you. That therefore the division between the Father and the Son is now no longer in place.
So in Malachi 3, God delivers another message. What is it?
Yes. Malachi 3 is also one of the prophets at the end, and he says something that's kind of confusing. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming. And then he says, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Now, the Enduring Faith Sunday School material advises the teacher to go to something like YouTube and ask the question, how is silver refined? And it just so happens I had done that, and one of the items was a ladies' Bible study, and they were reading from Malachi 3, and they did not understand the refiner's fire. So a lady went to a silversmith, one of the members of the class, and asked, how do they refine silver? And he showed her that he takes that which has silver in it, but has other impurities, and he holds it over a hot flame. And she asked him, do you have to hold it the whole time? He said, yes. Well, what happens when you know that it's pure? And his answer was very helpful. He said, it is pure when I see my image in the silver. In other words, it's kind of like a mirror. He sees his face. And that's how God purifies us. By giving us baptism and the Holy Spirit, he therefore has the image of Christ within us. And he even says it, that he's sending his Spirit. And that's how God purifies us, by taking care of our sins and making sure that we are pure, that even though we're sinning, that sin is forgiven, which means we are no longer held accountable for having to pay for the sins. And that's because God is the refiner and purifier of silver and will purify the sons of Levi and, of course, every Christian believer.
Who is this messenger that God is talking about?
Obviously, when he's talking about a messenger coming, he's referring to the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. And we can remember from Abraham, he really delighted in the message of God that through Isaac, many nations would be blessed. So there's no doubt that the messenger is always pointing to Jesus Christ, but he has a prophet, a messenger that comes before him, and that draws people to Jesus Christ, and that's John the Baptizer, because he comes with a message of repentance and also of the forgiveness of sins, which is the primary message that Jesus speaks about when he begins his ministry.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on waiting for God's promised messengers in the prophet Haggai and Malachi. God commands his people to return. What is he telling them to do? Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with examples for us. Flee idolatry, participants in the altar, to the glory of God, and headship. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in a advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because God the Father loves the world, He sent His Son Jesus to seek and save the lost. He has reconciled us with the Father, that is, He has restored our good relationship with Him. He has paid for the sins of the whole world so that every human being could be in fellowship with the Father. An excerpt from the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. It's at our website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on waiting for God's promised messengers in Haggai and Malachi with Pastor Tom Baker. Tom, when God commands His people to return, what is He telling them to do?
He's telling them to get back together as His people to worship Him properly. In fact, both the second and third commandments, which Adam and Eve lost, number one, the second one, God gives us His name so we can call upon Him in worship. And the third commandment, remember, we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and His word. He now speaks to us. So what He wants to do, and we talked about this last week, when Ezra read the law, people were really emotional about it because they realized what sinners they were, and yet they also realized what God was going to do and forgive their sins. So a reading of law and gospel is really a highlight of every worship service, and it's heard not only in a sermon, but in the liturgy, particularly in the hymns and in the sacraments. And that's what God wanted them to get back to, rather than be all concerned about what kind of house they're living in and what kind of possessions they have while God's house was laying in ruins.
In Malachi 4, there is a promise of a great and terrible day of the Lord burning like an oven. What is this promise?
Yeah, this is the great day of the Lord, and it is referring to the day of judgment. And, of course, it says that the earth as we know it will be taken away, and a new heavens and a new earth, and it will be really with the Sun of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. And that's referring to Jesus Christ, who will be the judge on that day. And we will be going to heaven leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of our feet on that day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Now, He tells them to remember the law of His servant Moses, namely the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. And that's what Ezra was reading last week. But then he has another promise. Verse 5, this is only two verses away from the end of the Old Testament. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so John the Baptizer is really the new Elijah. And in fact, the people were aware of this because when Jesus from the cross speaks the Aramaic words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, they thought he was calling to Elijah when he was really saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? So they thought Elijah would have to come. And Jesus made very clear in his ministry that John the Baptizer was the fulfillment of the promise that Malachi gives in the last verses of the Old Testament books.
Why does God tell the people to remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws that I gave at Horeb for all Israel?
Because there are different kinds of laws. There's ceremonial laws, to which we are no longer bound. There's legal laws, in the sense of civil laws, that we are no longer bound to. But then there are moral laws. And God so loves his people that when you break a moral law, and you can see this happening in the United States right now with the immorality going on, terrible consequences happen to those people. And so therefore God wants to protect his people and have them obey his will. Because the word law, when we're talking about God's law, is the same as speaking of the will of God. And therefore, what those Ten Commandments were is a law that never goes out of existence. And when properly understood, Christians love to obey it. And when they obey it, they receive positive blessings.
So who is the Elijah mentioned there in Malachi?
That would be, as I said, John the Baptizer, because he was coming to prepare the way. Remember, the hills will be made low. That means proud people will be made humble, and the valleys will be brought up. Those who feel there is no opportunity for salvation will hear the message. As John himself says, you know, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one coming over whom I am speaking will also baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's the sacrament of holy baptism, which churches love to experience, even for little children, as the promises come true that they receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is promised in the Old Testament and fulfilled on the day of Pentecost.
So finally, what is the law and gospel of this week's Sunday school lesson?
The law is that God did not kind of rescue us so we could do our own thing and ignore the messengers of the gospel and be really busy with other items. No, we're to be busy about God's will, sharing the message with others. And that's the gospel, the message that is found in no other religion, that God took care of our sins by his death on the cross and his resurrection, and therefore heaven is definitely our home, because that's what he has promised to every believer in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop about his decision not to create a cake for a gay wedding. We'll continue our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. God did not leave his people unwarned or unaware of what he would do. All through the Old Testament, through these prophets near the end of the Old Testament and the ones that came before him, he both warned them and reminded them of his promises for redemption. He warned them that the day of the Lord is coming, that they ought to be prepared. And when that day comes, he promised them redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.